Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Legalized marijuana is always a very difficult question.
The time is long overdue for us to remove the federal prohibition on marijuana.
From now on, I smoke weed exclusively with white people.
Well, I'm getting higher next time.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man, the Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
There's definitely cannabis in there, and it makes sure that I can sleep now.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Don't piss off your old dealer.
Marijuana is not the kind of thing that ought to be legalized.
I know you're not supposed to admit that you smoke pot, but I don't drink alcohol.
Let's get out of here. I have some really good weed back at the hotel.
I used to smoke marijuana.
I don't care if an adult wants to smoke marijuana. They shouldn't go to prison for it either.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio. It's episode number 887 on Friday, February 10th, 2017. So glad to have you here. Our phone lines are open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565. Got all sorts of stories in hour two for you. We're going to take a look at the titans of the Colorado marijuana industry and their reactions to the confirmation of Attorney General Jeff Sessions. We've also got to look at New York's medical marijuana program and how half the patients out there are not going back to the dispensaries to refill their recommendations. We'll figure out why that is. Also, in international cannabis reform news, we'll take a look at the countries that start with the letter I. That is Ireland, Italy, and Israel. We got updates from all three. We've also got a look at the upcoming events for next week here. The Cannabis Collaborative Conference is taking place Wednesday and Thursday in Portland. We will be streaming live from there. And the International Cannabis Business Conference from San Francisco on Friday, we will stream live from there as well. Now, in this segment, though, I wanted to take you out to Massachusetts, where the local TV station out there has caught some video of the elusive pot squatch.
No idea what to make of this one. A reporter just up the road in Springfield, Massachusetts, was in for a surprise while going live during yesterday's storm.
Hey, it's live TV. Take a look. A Sasquatch covered in marijuana leaves wandered into the reporter's live shot.
There it is.
There it is. Creeping along.
This is in Mass? It's the Mass Squatch?
So.
It's pot? It's the grass squatch. How about that?
Yeah. She didn't realize it until she stepped out of the frame to show the snowy road behind her, and then the Sasquatch. He fell down into the snow. There are so many jokes that we can make right now. It's a weed Sasquatch.
Yeah, grass squatch.
Weed watch. I don't know.
Kind of looks like the Statue of Liberty got covered in moss or something.
This is very, very well thought out by him, though. I mean,
wait, come on, one more time.
For those of you listening to this, though, you have to go out to.
I'm okay.
No joke. I was driving home right in the teeth of the storm yesterday, and I saw two guys on 91 trying to push out a car, and they did. And then one guy, after he pushed out the car, he went and fell over. You know, was stumbling around just like this poor guy.
Oh my man.
Oh my god. That's a very detailed. Costume.
Right, with the leaf on the face.
You gotta
and the
check
arms.
Out the pot squatch. It's WWLP out there in Springfield, Massachusetts. The funniest damn thing I have seen in a long time. I'll see if I can send the link out on my Radical Russ. I'll also post that up on Facebook. But for those of you who are just listening on the podcast, the costume. Brilliant. It reminds me of one of those ghillie suits that like U.S. snipers wear. It's all this big shambling suit the guy's got on. And just a whole bunch of fake pot leaves hanging off of it. It just looks like, it looked like the cross between, like if the swamp thing, if the swamp thing came out of a pot garden, that's what it would look like.
That was the funniest thing. Please check that out, WWLP. It's Fox 62, I think, out in Springfield, Massachusetts. It's all over the internet today, folks. You just go look for that. I'm sure you'll find it. It's hilarious. We will take a break, and when we come back, we will talk a little bit more about our Colorado industry titans. They are responding to the confirmation of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and the tough-on-crime rhetoric is already coming out from the Trump administration. Sounds a whole lot like a little bit of Richard Nixon mixed with a little bit of Ronald Reagan, all baked together in a brand-new 21st century version. We're going to be keeping our eye on that. And as we move on throughout the rest of this year and the rest of this Trump administration, you can expect that we're going to be broadening our look at the entire criminal justice apparatus in this country beyond just the drug war. Kind of like how LEAP is expanding, we're expanding beyond just the war on marijuana, the entire war on drugs, asset forfeiture, mass incarceration, bail, solitary confinement. We're going to cover it all this year. So hang on tight. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to take a break. Please visit our sponsors. And if you know anyone else that wants to advertise on the Russ Belville Show, send them my way. I'm RadicalRuss@gmail.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
This is my old neighborhood. I grew up, I live right over there, 1401 Stebbins Avenue. They call this area Fort Apache, the Bronx. I guess everybody wants to go back to his old neighborhood, pick up on old memories, buddies. We used to hang out in the corner in front of Spector's Candy Store. My friend Bobby Alvarez lived right across the street. What a ball player. Everybody that saw him play knew he was going to make it big. He didn't. He's dead. He OD'd on drugs. Hi, I'm Danny Aiello. When you're a kid, you're on the street, you got to make your own decisions. I don't care where you live. Sooner or later, somebody's going to offer you drugs. Coke, pot, heroin, crack. You got to say no. My friend Bobby didn't. Long time.
This has been the Russ Belville Show's anti-drug public service announcement of the day. Exclusively on RadicalRuss.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
I would imagine that there's probably a gun in the school to protect from potential grizzlies.
All right. Well, maybe you're high, too.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 9 after the hour, and if you don't know it, we are on video now. You can catch me at 720p stereo. 720p video, stereo audio, stereo audio, stereo audio.
You can catch us on YouTube. The easiest way to get there, just go to RadicalRust.com, and it'll redirect you to the live YouTube page.
We're still podcasting, and for those of you who've rejoined us, I was off for a few weeks while I was getting this whole system set up. I hope you like the new system. I'm loving the hell out of it. So my podcast is still going through Cannabis Radio for the moment. You'll still be able to get the download through all the iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, all that kind of stuff. In the future, my podcast is going to be hosted on RadicalRust.com, but you'll still be able to get it through all the iTunes, iHeartRadios. I got to work out, the transition to make it seamless, but you'll still get it all the same places if you've got them bookmarked or subscribed to. But once we get the RadicalRust.com site up, that's when that VIP thing will kick back in. We haven't, I've got some of you, and thank you so much. You've maintained your VIP subscriptions because it's really helped me to get this back up online. But once RadicalRust.com comes back up online, we will go full bore into the whole prescription thing and subscription, not prescription, subscription thing. And we'll be better able to provide all of our archives to you. Because a lot of you are saying like, what about hour two? Like if you're listening to the podcast, you're only getting hour one now. That's because hour two is going to only be for the VIPs. I just don't have that mechanism set up yet. We'll get that as soon as we can. All right, let's go to our phone lines. We got a call coming in from the 434 area code. You're on the air with Toker Talk Radio. What's up?
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, it's Creed. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Thank you for supporting me.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. I was glad to do the interview, and I was glad to play it back in hour one. In case anyone missed that, you'll be able to catch it up on my YouTube page later today.
Don't hesitate to email me, anybody. My name is Creed Leffler. That's spelled CREEDLEFFLER.
@yahoo.com. That's right. You can email Creed at creedleffler@yahoo.com. CREEDLEFFLER@yahoo.com. How's the signatures going on the petition?
I can give you a number right now. Hold on.
Okay. Yeah, let's find out how we're doing on that. I don't know that, Trump's going to do anything about it, but it's always good to, petition. Reed's checking that out for us from his home in Virginia. Yep, I can hear him checking him out right now. You can check out that that petition out at moveon.org is where you can find that. Or just email Creed, creedleffler@yahoo.com. I'm sure he'll tell you what it is.
Or you can look me up on Facebook as well, or on Twitter.
Facebook and Twitter, yes, at Creed Leffler on Twitter and Creed Leffler on Facebook. Did you get a number for the petitions?
Hold on.
Still looking. All right. Always have such a good time going out to Virginia and meeting all the activists out there. Shout out to Jess and Ron and Pam and, of course, Jen Michelle. All the rest of the crew out there, you guys were a lot of fun. Nikki, appreciate each and every one of you.
2,267.
2,267. All right. Well, yes. Let's get some more signatures on that, people. Sign up now. If you can hit up Creed on Twitter, I'm sure you can send the link out to at Creed Leffler.
And I will do it right now.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in and giving us an update. And again, I'll shoot you the link to the YouTube copy of our interview. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Creed. Appreciate all your work, man.
Thank you.
All right, Creed Leffler calling in from Virginia. That's our phone line still open at 650-LEGAL-MJ, 650-534. 2565. If you got any comments or questions about the law, the culture, the history, the science of the cannabis plant, everything except how to grow it, I'm here to talk about it. But right now I want to get into what's going on politically speaking, because of course, Jeff Sessions was confirmed as the Attorney General of the United States. And so now we're going to have to deal with the fallout from that. And the television stations out in Colorado are starting to ask the marijuana industry what they think about this. There's a story up on Fox 31 Denver, what Jeff Sessions' confirmation might mean for marijuana legalization. They talked to several people here, and according to some of the folks, Adam Eidinger, for example, he's with Washington, D.C.'s DCMJ. He's actually optimistic about this. He says, quote, "This is a perfect storm for activists to win. This is probably the most important time in all the years I've worked on marijuana reform. We are literally at the end of the race." Boy, I don't know about that. I think we're about halfway, but we shall see. And another person here, Rob Capecci from the Marijuana Policy Project. He is the Director of Federal Policies. And he says enforcing the national prohibition of recreational marijuana would eliminate much of the oversight set by states and create a very messy gray area. But he does point out that the DEA just does not have the resources to crack down on all the states, saying, quote, "They just don't have the resources to do that. And I don't think that the taxpayers in Tennessee want their federal tax dollars going toward DEA action busting medical marijuana patients in North Dakota, for instance." So some folks are hopeful on this. There was a release from the National Cannabis Industries Association where Aaron Smith was hopeful, and they say things like, "We're hopeful that the administration will respect states' rights, and we're hopeful that the administration will allow the states to continue to get tax money, and et cetera, et cetera." I'm hopeful too. Never before have I wanted to be more wrong about my instincts than right now. I would love to have people making fun of me over the next 3 years if indeed Trump turns out to be good for marijuana and the industry continues to grow and there's no federal interference. I so badly want to eat crow on this one. I'm just afraid that as a student of history and as someone who grew up in the Just Say No 80s and came up politically in W's administration, and was a kid during Nixon, I mean, I've seen this play before. I know the lyrics to this tune. I know what's coming. And maybe this time it'll just be more rhetorical than actual. Maybe it'll just be, you know, the good people don't smoke marijuana messages coming down, and not federal enforcement and DEA raids and court injunctions and so forth. But I'm not optimistic
it's
as these
the HW
people are.
Home
just not
annual
as
warehouse
optimistic.
Sale.
And I hate it when websites have automatically playing videos on them. Would you please stop that, web developers? All right, where was I? ABC7 in Denver. Denver's news channel also put together a look at what the cannabis industry is thinking about the confirmation of Jeff Sessions. And dispensary owner Brian Rutan, who owns 7 Starbuds shops, says, quote, "Everyone in the industry, in the marijuana industry, is concerned. He could possibly send a letter to all the state governors and say, get rid of the marijuana in your states or we'll take action," end quote. Continues by saying, "There are thousands and thousands of jobs that rely on the marijuana industry indirectly. Electricians, plumbers, warehouse space, all things are impacted by the industry," end quote. Now, that makes perfect sense. It's perfectly logical. You would think that an administration that wants to create jobs and be seen as growing the economy wouldn't want to do something that would shut down the marijuana industry and create more unemployment and fewer jobs. But again, if logic worked, marijuana wouldn't be illegal in the first place. People need to get through their heads here. The war on marijuana has always been about culture. It's always been a culture war. It's always been a tool of political oppression. It's always been a tool of maintaining corporate profits against a natural competitor. When you can see it through those eyes, when you can see it from that perspective, then you can start to make the logical decisions as to what should happen. And that's what's happening. I'm seeing them crack down.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
All right, well, that sound means it's time for our union-mandated safety briefing. And by the way, those of you watching on video, this shirt's made out of hemp, baby. We've got our Friday hemp shirt out. Smoke them if you got them. We'll be right back with more talk about the industry. Coming up, New York's medical marijuana patients.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
The Russ Belville Show. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges.
Hey, Mo!
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they aim you to say that.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show.
Yar, Darby Pirates here. Har, 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 har.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right. Checking out the chat room. Glad to see so many out there. Kathy and John Thomas, Roger B, Run Around, and Reverend Richard.
I switched the stereo. Does that work better for you?
I'm thrilled I figured out the whole stereo setup, man. I was kind of bummed out that it was only stereo on Cannabis Radio because a lot of my intros and background stuff make a lot of use of stereo panning. For example, if you listen to the intro on the Radical Rant, you'll notice that Richard Nixon starts out over here on the right. And then you'll notice Jimmy Carter comes in over here on the left. And then as we move through time, they all start to move toward the center. So that's kind of a thing that you can catch now that in the past was just mono here on YouTube. So I'm glad we got that worked out. There's something else in the chat room I wanted to address that I understand where it comes from. We got a chatter in there who's worried about the Muslims. let's just lay it out on the table. And I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be one that's going to, you know, jump down your throat on this and because, you know, when people hear that, there's a tendency to say, oh, you're Islamophobic, you're a racist, right? I don't think so. I don't think that's accurate in this case. I think what it is that, again, it has to do with this thing of perception. When I was growing up, let me give you an example, okay, from my own life. When I was growing up, I lived in rural Idaho. I lived in, like, a different city. I went to a different city and a different school every year. So it was Sumas, Washington, Nampa, Idaho, Melba, Idaho, Fruitland, Idaho, Nampa, Idaho, right? I bounced around a lot in these little rural towns. So growing up, I grew up with a lot of Mexican immigrants. I grew up, a lot of the kids I went to school with were first generation American. Their folks were out there, you know, picking onions in the fields and stuff. And so my knowledge of, like, Hispanic culture and Spanish and Mexican food and all that kind of stuff is a part of me. It's steeped into my background, right? On the other hand, Jewish culture, Hebrew, Jewish holidays, food and such, kosher food, completely outside of my reality growing up in Idaho. Now, it's not like there aren't Jews in Idaho. I'm sure there are. There's temples and synagogues, I'm sure. But it's just not something. There's so few, you wouldn't even know, right? Like, I remember, like, the first time I saw someone wearing a yarmulke, I had to have been an adult by the time I saw someone actually wearing a yarmulke. Like, not on TV, like, watching Yentl or something, but, you know, in real life. I remember in 96, was it? 95? Like, my first trip to Manhattan, and I was in the Diamond District there, and there was all the Hasidic Jews with the curls and stuff. It was like, whoa, blow my mind! And the reason I bring this up is because if you're not around a culture, and if you're not around the people that are different than you, then you're going to form your opinions and form your framing of those people and that culture on other sources, whatever other sources you might get. And so growing up, the only sources, the only references I would hear to Jewish people had to do with Hollywood or banks or, you know, all the stereotypes and the anti-Semitic shit, you know. And so that was hard to overcome. It took a lot of conscious thought to overcome my Idaho background and thinking on certain things. So when I hear people that are like, oh, I'm afraid of the Muslims, I'm afraid of the terrorism, the Muslims are out to get us, their book says to kill us, I try to hear that thinking of that background of my own, of just being ignorant, of just not knowing, of just not having anyone near you to give you that perspective. And so the thing to understand is that the fear is misplaced. The fear is too broad. You can't be afraid of the Muslims, right? That's 1.6 billion people. That's a whole lot of paranoia, baby. 1.6 billion people, right? And that makes no sense. And if you found yourself in, say, Dearborn, Michigan, around a large Arab American Muslim population and grew up, you know, playing ball with those kids and went to school with those kids and met their parents and everything, you probably wouldn't have that same perception, right? You wouldn't be afraid of the Muslims. You'd be afraid of the extremists. Now, that's perfectly valid fear. I'm afraid of extremists, but I'm afraid of all extremists. I'm afraid of the alt-right Nazi extremists, the white nationalists. I'm afraid of the Christian dominionist supremacist extremists. I'm afraid of the Islamic jihadist suicide bomber type extremists, right? That's valid fear, but do understand you're far more likely to be hit by a bolt of lightning or shot by a toddler in this country than to suffer in an attack of Muslim extremism. And then there's that point about, well, the Quran says to slaughter the infidels. Folks, there's some pretty slaughtery stuff in the Bible, too. There's a lot of slaughtery stuff in the Torah. Okay? Religions, as they were formed, weren't just religions. They were politics. There was no wall of separation between church and state. Politics was religion. Religion was politics. War was religion. Religion was war. It was all intertwined, man. And these ancient warlike people had ancient warlike gods, right? As to be expected. But to think that we should be banning Muslims from coming into this country or having extreme vetting or any of this crazy unconstitutional bullshit is misdirecting the fear. And in misdirecting the fear, actually hurting our security. You know, when we ban Muslims from coming in the country, we're talking about guys that were like translators in Iraq and Afghanistan for our soldiers. We're talking about the good people, the vast majority of good people that we want to have them on our side. When they go to the mosque and they start hearing the young men talking, you know, conspiratorially, we want them to see something, say something. We don't want them to think we hate them too. So be careful about that kind of thought about, I'm afraid of the Muslims, or the book says they want to kill me. Look, it's not all about you. You're safe, right? Let's not subscribe to this Trumpish culture of fear, of being afraid of the immigrants and afraid of the
refugees and afraid of the terrorists and afraid of the Muslims. Man, let's not do that. Let's not do that. Let's be the side that stands for what America stands for, that believes in what is inscribed on our Statue of Liberty, that recognizes our strength is in our immigration, our strength is in our diversity, that there's nothing cooler than having people from all over the world, cultures from all over the world, coming into America and becoming American and adding to what American is, right? Like, the number one condiment in America today is salsa, not ketchup. But now that's an American thing. The Mexican culture brought that to us, but now it's become part of America. We're like the Borg, man. We assimilate. And it's not that people coming to us assimilate to us, is we assimilate them, right? Spanish words become part of our lexicon. French cooking becomes part of our, you know, our cuisine, and German engineering, and, you know, you look around your desk, there's things on your desk right now that depend on this international web of cooperation and this diversity. Let's celebrate that. One of the things I've loved the most about being in the cannabis community, and it's really a function of prohibition, is that the cannabis community seems to be less segregated, less homogeneous than a lot of other communities. And that's out of necessity, right? Like, when it's illegal, the people at break time gathering in the dark parking lot in a joint circle are going to be black and brown and gay and female and male and all sorts of folks, just because the illegality made us all outlaws. We all had something in common. I sure hope, as legalization continues, that we don't lose that aspect of our culture. I'm proud that the marijuana industry is the most female-dominated corporate culture, at least as far as I know, on the planet. I mean, so the average rate of CEOs for companies that are female is like 15-20%, something like that. In the marijuana movement, it's like 45% of our companies are headed up by women. That's a good thing. We want to have our diversity and our appreciation for that diversity to be reflected in this new legal regime. We want to see the disproportionate effect that the drug war has had on minorities to be ameliorated through legality, not continued. We need to erase these barriers. We need to get rid of these, you know, bans on people with previous convictions getting involved in the legal market. We need to open up capital, open up credit for minorities trying to get into the legal cannabis business. We want to be what we know America can be. It reminds me, too, of things that have been said by African-Americans many times before. I remember the way Chris Rock said it. Black man's got to fly to where the white man can walk to. We want to be the example that shows where we can get to, what America can be. And since we are cannabis consumers, since we are the so-called potheads, we've got to try harder. We've got to fly to where any other advocacy group could walk to. We've already got the deficit of public trust, the deficit of seriousness that, oh, you're all just about getting high. It's all just about, you know, doing drugs and party time. We have to be extra good. Our industry has to be extra careful not to let minors in. Our industry has to be extra careful not to get embroiled in scandals, tax evasion, and bad economic or environmental practices. And that becomes especially important as we move on now into this world of Donald Trump, into out of our 8 years of relative hands-off from the government and back into a defensive position where we're going to get attacked on all sides, through the courts, through the DEA, through regulations, through scheduling, through all sorts of rhetoric coming down from the top. We have to band together. Use our diversity as our strength, put our best foot forward, and continue to reform and fight for that reform fight to keep the reforms we've got and get more reforms in the states that need them. It's going to be a tough road to hoe, but what other choice do we have? We're not going back in the closet. We're not going back to prohibition. We're not letting the government put another one of us in a cage for a plant. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take a look at that New York medical marijuana program, plus international look at Israel, Italy, and Ireland when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The International Cannabis Business Conference comes to San Francisco, California on February 16th and 17th, 2017. The ICBC San Francisco, Northern California's first business-to-business event since the recent historic election, will bring together top state regulators and industry leaders to discuss permits, business models, and opportunities within the newly enacted laws and landscape. Of course, the ICBC also famously offers some of the best cannabis industry networking, leveraging our worldwide following to connect wholesalers, brands, distributors, investors, and strategic partners. And don't forget to come early for our VIP reception and stay late for our legendary after party. Join us for the longest continuously running cannabis business conference in California at the Hilton San Francisco Union Square, the one and only International Cannabis Business Conference. Visit internationalcbc.com for tickets today.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
In my view, the time is long overdue for us to remove the federal prohibition on marijuana.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Hello, Mr. Man.
Hi.
I'm working. Sorry, no food till this is done.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 37 after the hour. Quick update on some polling news via weednews.com. Whoa, wait, no. Weednews.co. My bad. We're too lazy for the last M. Just a joke. Weednews.co is your latest and greatest source for the best in marijuana activism news and opinion. It's the new blog featuring the guys who put the weed blog over the top. Johnny Green and Ninja Smoker, they're my co-partners in weednews.co, along with Anthony Johnson, the man who was the chief petitioner for Oregon's marijuana legalization. Anyway, out there on weednews.co, new story up on a poll out of Michigan. Am I legalized? 2018. They're working for legalization in, guessed it, 2018. There's a new poll out, Epic MRA poll. Huge jump in support for marijuana law reform. New poll numbers for the state of Michigan show that the support for marijuana legalization is 57% support. Yes, 57%. Support for marijuana legalization in the state of Michigan. That's up 4% from last year. Wow. Up from 53 to 57. And this was, they almost made the ballot, folks, in 2016. They collected 374,000 signatures. And then they did, the state went and did some shenanigans on the vote or on the petition signatures. They came up with this 180-day spoilage rule, and there was a lot of fights over it, and basically they were just barely eked out of making the ballot.
Well, this 57% makes me feel pretty positive about their ability to make the ballot coming up in 2018. Michigan Normal commissioned the poll question for MI Legalize. The Epic MRA poll in 2014 had support at 50%. In 2016, 53%. And now, this January poll, 57%. My thanks to the folks out there, Jamie Lowell, Matt Abel on MI Legalize, and of course, Rick Thompson for the board of directors of Michigan Normal and MI Legalize. Rick Thompson says, quote, a 4% increase is a spike in support. Lots of factors contributed to this dramatic rise, but it has to be credited in part to the work of MI Legalize and the extensive public relations associated with the campaign. Well done, well done. We will keep our eyes on Michigan legalization in 2018. Now, back to the story I wanted to talk about earlier, which was out of New York State. Now, New York State is barely a medical marijuana state. You know, I always complain about that map they put up where they say, here's all the medical marijuana states, and they're all green, right? Like, as if California's medical marijuana is anything like New York's medical marijuana. New York, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota are all what I like to call medical cannabinoid states. Because you can't get any marijuana. You can only get cannabis products. You can get oils, edibles, tinctures. So medical cannabinoid state. Now naturally this means you can't grow your own. So you got to buy it through these dispensaries. Well, a new story is out in the Albany Times-Union that says only half of the state's medical marijuana patients are repeat buyers. Yeah, so through late January, they had 12,933 medical marijuana patients certified. 12,933. 10,250 of them had been dispensed a medical marijuana product. Okay? So right off the bat, you got almost 2,700 patients not shopping at the dispensaries. Now, are they using a medical cannabis product? Are they just growing their own weed? What are they doing? Don't know. Now, of those 10,250 that went to the dispensary and bought some sort of product, only 6,403 of them returned. So this is a little bit of a misleading stat, right? They say the 6,400 returned out of almost 13,000. But really, it's only 10,000 of them shopped there the first time. You can't call them, you know, you can't fault them for not returning if they never went there in the first place, right? But still, 10,250 patients went once, only 6,400 came back for a second time. 60% of those who made a first purchase came back. So why is this? Well, anecdotally, what they found is they've only got five companies that sell medical marijuana products in the state of New York. Five. For 13,000 patients, there are five companies. And they say there's a slower growth curve than the businesses would like. And they say less than robust sales may be because of prohibitive prices. Oh, really? It's more expensive to grow a marijuana plant and then extract the cannabinoids out of that marijuana plant and then put those cannabinoids into some sort of pill, spray, or inhaler than it is to just grow the bud and smoke it? Huh. Who'd have known? And they also complain that insurance does not cover medical marijuana. The Narcotic Enforcement Bureau Director for the Department of Health in New York is a guy by the name of Josh Vinciguerra. And he says, quote, if the implication is that only certain people are continuing on medical marijuana because they can afford it, there are probably lots of reasons for that besides just price. Well, yeah. Could also be that a lot of these patients, when they go to the dispensary, might not have gotten the memo that they are medical cannabinoid patients. Maybe some of these patients went there to the dispensary thinking that they would be getting, oh, I don't know, medical marijuana. And then when they get there and they find all they can buy is a lotion or a spray or a pill or a tincture, they decide it's not worth the problem. It's not worth all of the effort to have to deal with all of this stuff. It's not worth the expense of dealing with it all. This could explain it, perhaps, right? Ah, oh, such a shame. The fear I've got here is that these patients in New York are going to just continue using marijuana. That they're going to think that, oh, if I can't go to the dispensary to get what I need, you know, and some of these people are going to go there and they're going to say, well, oh, I don't see flowers, but okay, I'll try a tincture. And then they're going to get home and try it and find out, oh, this didn't work for me. Or maybe they overdose on it and have a bad reaction. And maybe this turns them off to medical marijuana altogether. Or maybe they continue with illegal flower marijuana, thinking that they're somehow protected under the medical marijuana program, only to find that someday they're not. And find out the hard way that they got to hire lawyers and deal with bail and all that other kind of stuff. It's just a shame. All right, let's take a look at some of the other international news that's going on. We brought you a story yesterday out of Ireland where the first medical marijuana patient there, a young boy in County Cork, a three-year-old, was kicked out of his preschool because of his cannabidiol oil. Well, now we get a story from the UK Mirror. Cannabis to be legalized in Ireland, but only for treating specific medical conditions. Dublin's health minister, Simon Harris, has given the green light for its use under certain circumstances. So it's the legislature out there in Ireland now looking at legalizing medical marijuana. Says they'll establish a program for cannabis-based treatments for conditions where patients have not responded to other treatments, and there is some evidence that cannabis may be effective. This will include multiple sclerosis, cancer, and epileptics. Well, I'm glad they're moving forward in Ireland on this. The only thing that bothers me about this is whenever they bring this up and they say, well, as long as you've tried everything else, and you've tried all the pills and all the surgeries, well, then we'll let you try some medical cannabis. I always hate this medicine of last resort that we have to have when it comes to marijuana. It's just so unnecessary when it's something that is so non-toxic and has so little in the way of deleterious side effects. When its worst side effect is that you get the munchies and like jam band solos, maybe that's the first thing you ought to try, rather than the stuff that could cause, what was the side effect I heard the other day? Side effects may include heart failure. That was the one. There was a drug on the TV the other day. Side effects may include heart failure. That's not a side effect. That's an effect. That's the effect of death. Okay? That's not a side effect. Oh, man. So, yeah, try those first. Then try the marijuana. In other international news, starting with the letter I feel like I'm on Sesame Street. The Russ Belville Show is brought to you by the letter I, the letter F, and the number 69. So other story coming out of BBC News. This is out of Italy. Medicinal cannabis. Italy's state-approved drug baron shares all. Colonel Antonio Medica. What do you know? That's a great name for the medical marijuana guy. He runs the military pharmaceutical plant in Florence and grows 220 pounds of cannabis per year. This is all through their military, folks. Their military in Italy grows the medical marijuana. Gotta love that, huh? Switch my screen. There we go. Now you can see me. So, they're growing 220 pounds, 100 kilograms of cannabis per year. Medical marijuana is legal for pain for patients with cancer or multiple sclerosis. And who better to grow it and guard it than the Army? That's so great. And he says, the colonel says, when we began this back in 2014, we weren't familiar with the cultivation of this crop, but says that the army quickly got the hang of it. One soldier checks the plants with a magnifying glass. He wears a shirt with the official title, Master Grower. That's right. In the Italian army, you can be a master pot grower. Gotta love that one. I wonder what the ribbon is for master pot grower that you end up putting on your uniform. Gotta love that. We'll have more for you when we come back for break. We gotta smoke them again because, you know, it's 4:50 and there are some time zones out there that are a half hour off, and so it might be 4:20 for some of them, right? That'll work, won't it? All right, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
They will smoke weed and sell pot at state fairs.
All right, maybe you're high, too. Good for you. Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show. I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a scum. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Oops.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radical.
Until next time, take care of each other, Topers.
Oh, my.
You
You take a scene, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Good people don't smoke marijuana.
All right. Well, maybe you're high, too.